Blog Talk Radio.
The devil went down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now, you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet you're going to regret because I'm the best as ever been. Johnny, you're holding up your bow and play your fiddle hard. Cause hell broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals a card. And if you win, you get the shiny fiddle made of gold. But if you lose, the devil gets your soul." The devil opened up his case and he said, "I'll start this show." And fire flew from his fingertips as he rolled up his bow. And he pulled the bow across the strings and it made an evil hit. And then a band of demons joined in and it sounded something like this. "Well, you're pretty good, old son, but sit down in that chair right there and let me show you how it's done. Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. The devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread pan, picking out dough. Granted, if you don't fight, don't y'all know." Bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat, and he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, "Devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again. I done told you once, you son of a bitch, I'm the best there's ever been." He played, "Fire on the mountain, run, boys, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. Chicken in the bread stand, I'm picking out dough. Granny, when you don't fight, no child knows."
Yes, indeed, yes, indeed, yes, indeed. The devil has gone down to Georgia many times, many times. And in one of those trips, he hooked up with Jensen Franklin. How do I know that? Well, the only way Jensen Franklin can write a New York Times bestseller that talks about Satan is if the devil gave him the formula to write the book. And no doubt the devil has. Yes, my brothers and sisters, you have tuned in to another edition of Contending for the Faith with yours truly. You know who I am. I am your brother. I am your servant in Christ. And you know that I don't pull any punches. I would like to give Jensen Franklin or his dim-witted spiritual sister, Paula White, an opportunity to call the broadcast. The number here is 646-564-9730, 646-564-9730. Or if Jensen Franklin has a member of his staff who wants to call the broadcast, he can send one of his stooges to do so. Or if Paula White wants to send her gifted child, and he's special ed gifted, his name is Bradley Knight, if she wants to send her retarded son to call the broadcast, make sure someone else dials the number for him, because he'll muck it up. You can't give Bradley Knight all these numbers to dial, because he'll get confused. The number here is 646-564-9730. And let's see if anyone down in Georgia or anyone down in Apopka has what it takes to call in the broadcast and talk to me. Let's just see. I'll be looking at the board all night to see if anyone from those area codes calls me, and I will immediately stop what I'm doing and take that phone call. Are you listening to me, Jensen? Maybe he can't listen to me. Maybe he's got his head stuck in the sand again with his fanny up in the air. It just might be. Is Paula listening? Maybe Paula can't listen. Maybe Paula is doing something she ought not to be doing, and she ought to be listening to this broadcast. Maybe Paula went down to Walmart there to get herself some underwear. I don't know. I don't know where she's at. I don't know where Jensen's at. I know one thing. They're not here. They're not here. And perhaps they're too chicken to be here. Well, I wrote in my book, Spirit of Python Dunce, showing how Jensen Franklin's idiotic interpretation of Acts 16:16 proves he's a biblical moron. And in my book, I wrote that the devil did go down to Georgia. And I sent that book. I sent it to Jensen Franklin. I sent the book to him. Certified mail return receipt. I sent it back to him in December. Like I said, he has not replied. The chicken has not replied. And think about that. Here you have a grown man who is acting like a chicken because he's got a yellow streak running down his back, but at the same time, he's acting like an ostrich because he's got his head stuck in the sand with his tuchus up in the air. Wow. So there you have it. The devil went down to Georgia, and I let Jensen Franklin know that I know that the devil went down to Georgia because, again, there's no way Jensen Franklin can write this book unless the father of all lies was whispering in his ear. By the way, you, dear listener, if you want the book is yours free of charge. All you have to do is email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com, freechurchbooks@gmail.com, and I will make the book available to you free of charge. You're going to love reading Spirit of Python Dunce. And after you get through with that, you can email me again, and I will send you Spirit of Python Ignoramus. You're going to love reading that book. Listen, Jensen Franklin graduates, but he doesn't go up. He goes downward. Instead of going upward in his education, he graduates and goes downward. So he goes from dunce, and he graduates down to ignoramus. And from ignoramus, he graduates down to retard. That's the three-volume series, Spirit of Python Dunce, Spirit of Python Ignoramus, and Spirit of Python Retard. And all three books are yours for the asking, but I will only send you the book one at a time. You read one, then you can email me back when you get done with that one. Email me, say, I finished one, send me two. And that's how we'll take care of business here. Well, you know that I call Jensen Franklin the wizard of Oz. And with good reason. And by the way, this series of broadcasts that I'm doing, I'm going to turn into a book. I'm going to write another book on Jensen Franklin, and I'm going to call it The Wizard of Oz. I'm already looking for someone who can do the sketch for me, the artwork. I already have a concept. And by the way, when you look at all three book covers in the Python series, I designed those. Of course, someone drew it, but the artwork is my conception. The artist did exactly what I told the artist to do, nothing more, nothing less. And so I'm going to write a book based on this series that I'm doing here on the radio, and it's going to be called, like the series, The Spirit, or rather The Wizard of Odd, The Wizard of Odd. And I'm going to take every one of these shows and I'm going to turn them into a chapter. And I can tell you the book is going to be phenomenal. The book is going to be phenomenal. Now, we've been looking at why Jensen Franklin deserves to be called the Wizard of Odd. And so, by way of a recap, let me tell you thus far why we have concluded that Mr. Jensen Franklin is the Wizard of Odd. Now, what does the word odd mean? What does the word odd mean? Remember, let's go over what this word means. The word odd, O-D-D, it means strange. When I say that Jensen Franklin is an oddball, I mean, what I'm really saying is he's a strange character. He's a weirdo. He's a kook. He's screwy. He's wacky. He's unusual. He's abnormal, quite puzzling, baffling, mystifying. Those are all of the synonyms that you can use when you say that someone is odd. I've already shown you in broadcast 1, 2, and 3 that Jensen Franklin is odd for these reasons. First, in broadcast 1, if you recall, I proved that Jensen Franklin is the Wizard of Odd because in his book, in his New York Times bestseller, The Spirit of Python, he has an odd Jesus. He has a very strange Jesus. He has a screwy and bizarre and wacky Jesus. It's a Jesus not found anywhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the New Testament do you read about Jesus and then read Jensen Franklin's book, and you can conclude that the two are the same. They're not the same. Why? Well, because in the New Testament, in the Gospels, as well as in the Epistles, and in fact, even in the book of Revelation, we find that the Jesus that we serve, the Jesus who died on the cross, the Jesus who was the Lamb of God, the Jesus who came to redeem mankind, the Jesus who is our Messiah, our Lord and Savior, that Jesus specializes and promotes only truth. In fact, he called himself the truth with the definite article. He is explicitly truth incarnate. If you want to know the truth about anything, go to Jesus. Jesus is always telling the truth. Jesus doesn't lie, has never lied, not once, and will never lie, for he is God. God is not a man that he should lie. That's a scripture in the book of Numbers. Yet when God became incarnate, when God became man, God didn't start lying when he became man, for he's the God-man. 100% God, 100% man, and the two natures were fused together, and we have the second person of the Trinity. And this Jesus, who represents the Father, does not traffic in lies. Well, Jensen Franklin's Jesus is a liar. How do we know that? Because Jensen Franklin tells us that the revelation that he got for his book, The Spirit of Python, was given to him by the Lord. And that means Jesus. I take that to be Jesus. In the New Testament, the term Lord is always used in reference to Jesus. So, It's impossible for the Lord Jesus to have given Jensen Franklin this insight, this revelation that Satan operates like a python constrictor, because Jesus is not the author of confusion. He's not the author of lies. So then who is this Jesus that Jensen Franklin has? Who is this Jesus? He's an odd Jesus. He's a strange Jesus. He's a wacky, screwy Jesus. He's a bizarre Jesus. He's an unconventional Jesus. He's a baffling Jesus. I read about Jensen Franklin's Jesus in the book, and I say, that can't be Jesus. He doesn't mirror the Jesus of the Gospels or of the epistles or of the book of Revelation. So first and foremost, Jensen Franklin is the Wizard of Odd because he has an odd Jesus. Number two, we concluded that Jensen Franklin is the Wizard of Odd because he has an odd Satan. We know that Satan is a created being. We know that Satan is a created angelic being. As a created angelic being, Satan is limited in what he can do. Although angels are far superior to man, angels are still limited. Now, man is limited. I am finite. I'm a finite creature. I can only do so much. I can only do so much. Now, although Satan might be a little stronger than me, far more intelligent than me, have far more knowledge than I do, has been around longer than I have, we must conclude that although Satan is superior to us, superior to man, he is not superior to God because, again, God is what? Infinite, and Satan is finite. But in Jensen Franklin's book, Satan almost looks like God because Jensen Franklin gives his Satan, he gives his Satan divine attributes such as omnipotence, and he makes him omnipresent. That's an odd Satan. That's a bizarre Satan. We read some scriptures in the second broadcast in part two of the series showing how Satan is subject to God, that Satan can only do things based on permission. Satan would love to do things to us. He would love to do things to humanity. He would love to do things to this planet, such as produce utter chaos, but he is subject to God. Therefore, he's like a dog, a rabid dog on a chain. And he's only allowed to do as God lets him. But in Jensen Franklin's book, Satan is a rabid dog off the chain, who in fact seems to be, in so many of the chapters that Jensen Franklin has penned in his book, in so many of those chapters, Satan is stronger than God. Number three, we concluded that Jensen Franklin is the Wizard of Odd because he has an odd Holy Spirit. According to Scripture, the Holy Spirit is mighty. Mighty in power. He's called in Scripture the mighty Holy Spirit who came on the day of Pentecost as a rushing, mighty wind. We hear of the Holy Spirit coming upon men like Samson and David and Samuel and Elijah. And whenever the Spirit of God came upon these men and others, these men were made mighty and did mighty exploits. Yet, in Jensen Franklin's book, the Holy Spirit is a weakling. How do we know that? Because when Satan is in Python constrictor mode, he wraps himself around us, the believers, and he does so in order to squeeze out the anointing or to squeeze out the Holy Spirit. And think about that. The Holy Spirit resides in each believer, yet Jensen Franklin says that the spirit of Python, Satan, is able to squeeze out the Holy Spirit. Doesn't that sound bizarre? Isn't that a wacky statement? Isn't that screwy teaching? I mean, don't you find that teaching to be strange? Weird? It's a queer teaching. Yet, in Jensen Franklin's book, Satan is all-powerful, and the Holy Spirit a weakling. So, one, he has an odd Jesus. Two, he has an odd Satan. Three, he has an odd Holy Spirit. But today I want to talk about what makes Jensen Franklin so odd. Why is he the Wizard of Oz? Well, I will submit to you in this broadcast that reason number four why Jensen Franklin can be called the Wizard of Oz is this. Jensen Franklin has had an odd preaching companion. Yes, Jensen Franklin, the mighty man of God, one of the giants of the faith, one of the generals of the church. Yes, Jensen Franklin is an oddball himself. How do we know that? Because he's had an odd preaching companion. You know, Jesus, when he sent out his disciples, he sent out his disciples two by two. In other words, Jesus took two men and sent them out. Okay, you go this way, go preach the gospel. He took another two men and sent them, you go this way and you go preach the gospel. So Jesus took his 12 disciples, turned them into teams of two, and sent out six teams. He sent them out two by two. We read in the book of Acts that Peter and John, were both preaching before the Sanhedrin after they had been arrested. Peter and John were two preaching companions. We read in Acts chapter 13 that the Holy Ghost said, while the church was conducting a prayer meeting, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Again, the Holy Spirit sent out Peter, or rather Paul and Barnabas. In Acts 16, Paul hooks up with Silas, and the two of them, Paul and Silas, become preaching companions. Now, how can two walk together unless they agree? Two cannot walk together unless they agree. And by walking, I mean using your two legs. So Jesus sent out the disciples two by two. Peter and John went together to the temple, according to Acts 3, and stood together before the Sanhedrin to defend themselves. Paul and Barnabas were sent out by the Holy Spirit from the church of Antioch. Silas and Paul became a team in Acts 16. And again, I pose the question, how can two walk, and I emphasize the word walk, how can two walk together unless they agree? Well, we find out that Jensen Franklin has gone out by the two-by-two formula. We know that. How do we know that? Because Jensen Franklin has a series of illustrative sermons on YouTube when he was preaching the Spirit of Python. He went out, and he did exactly, he followed the model, two-by-two. But it wasn't Jensen Franklin and another man. It wasn't Jensen Franklin and another brother. It wasn't Jensen Franklin and another sister. It was Jensen Franklin and a python snake. A python snake. Now, how can two walk together? Well, Jensen is walking, but the python is slithering. Oh, my brothers and sisters, don't you find that odd? That Jesus sent them out two by two, and it wasn't Peter and a kangaroo. That Peter and John went out together. That Paul and Barnabas went out together. That Paul and Silas went out together. But never, it was never Paul and the donkey. It was never Peter and the giraffe. It was Peter and someone else. But Jensen Franklin, he went out to preach. He went out to share a series of sermons all throughout America. He was walking, but the python was slithering. Never have we heard in the Bible that Peter went out with a snake, or John went out with a snake, or Barnabas went out with a snake, or Paul went out with a snake, or that Silas went out with a snake. Never. Don't you find it odd? Don't you find it odd that Jensen Franklin went on his missionary journey with a python as his companion? Aren't those two odd bedfellows? I would think so. Now, you're probably saying, well, Brother Reformer, you're just making it up. At times, you seem to be quite comical. At times, you want to use comedy in your broadcast. Well, that's true. There are times when I do use comedy. There are times when I do want to be comical. There are times when, yes, I do employ a little bit of poetic license on the comedic side. But I'm not making this up. Here is Jensen Franklin. Here is Jensen Franklin with a YouTube video that has close to 29,000 views. It's called The Spirit of Python. It's 45 minutes long. Now, we're not going to listen to all 45 minutes, but here is Jensen Franklin on stage, And on this stage, what you have are dimmed lights. The lights are dim. There's a smoke machine in the background. I'm just trying to paint the picture for you. The lights are dim. It's now there's lights in the auditorium, but the lights are dark. It's a dark blue light. Then there's a smoke machine. There's a machine cranking out this hellish smoke, like if you were in a sulfuric cavern. So you have the smoke billowing. You have the dark blue lights. Then you have the ominous music in the background. Then Jensen Franklin is playing narrator. And right before him is a huge python snake, a real python snake. And that is his preaching sidekick. Listen to this.
Is the largest snake in the world. Python is the largest snake in the world. It's a powerful, listen up, it's a powerful constricting snake that literally chokes the breath out of its victims. You gotta listen to me. Give me your attention and listen. In Acts the 16th chapter, the Bible said that Paul and Silas were on a divine assignment.
Now, did you just hear him? Paul and Silas are on a divine assignment. And he would claim that he's on a divine assignment. So Paul and Silas are on a divine assignment, and it's Paul and Silas. How can two walk together unless they agree? Here, Jensen Franklin would argue that he's on a divine assignment. He's walking, but his preaching buddy is slithering. I kid you not. He just told you, Paul and Silas were on a divine assignment. The Lord would always send out these teams on a minimal 2x2. Sometimes it was Paul, Silas, and Timothy. Sometimes it was Paul, Barnabas, and John Mark. Always a minimum of two. And here he is talking about the python. He's got this huge python snake in the audience, or rather in this place where he's doing the preaching. The people are looking at this huge snake. They're blown away. They're commenting. They never expected to see a preacher have a python snake as his sidekick. That's what's so odd about this. A smoke machine makes it odd. You know, like in The Wizard of Oz. Remember in the movie The Wizard of Oz? How when Dorothy and the Scarecrow and the Cowardly Lion and the Tin Man first went to visit the wizard, did you notice that the wizard had a smoke machine? Did you notice how the wizard had colorful lights? Oh, that's why he's the Wizard of Oz. That's why Jensen Franklin, this guy is the Wizard of Oz. He's the wizard. Smoke machine like the Wizard of Oz. colorful lights like the Wizard of Oz, narrating and scaring people like the Wizard of Oz. He's a modern day wizard. A modern day wizard. But unlike Paul and Silas, who had each other as preaching companions, Jensen Franklin has an actual python snake. He's walking, the snake is slithering. Don't you find it odd? Don't you find it odd to have a preaching companion who can't preach, because we know that snakes don't preach? Well, he would argue, this is an illustrative sermon. I'll speak and the python will illustrate what I mean. Well, he doesn't qualify as a preacher because he can't speak. But that's his odd preaching companion. Here it is again.
The python is the largest snake in the world. It's a powerful, listen up, it's a powerful constricting snake that literally chokes the breath out of its victims. You gotta listen to me. Give me your attention and listen. In Acts the 16th chapter, the Bible said that Paul and Silas were on a divine assignment. And as they were on their way to the temple to pray, the Bible said that there was a woman who was demon-possessed with an evil spirit, and the scripture gave the name of that spirit. And in Acts 16, it said she had a spirit of python. It's the only time in the book of Acts that the name of the demon is given. There must be something God is trying to give us insight into when he said, it's a spirit, a python. Python.
Now, while he's preaching and the snake is slithering, he keeps grabbing this huge python from the back, from the tail, and keeps bringing the snake back to himself. Because he doesn't want the snake to go into the audience. Obviously, the snake will attack someone. So here he is. He's talking. The lights are on him. He's got the smoke machine going. He's got the ominous music. Turun, 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 turun. I mean, it's spooky music. It's designed. This is what is designed. It's an illustrated sermon. But don't you find it odd? Don't you find it odd that the very emblem of evil, because we know that the serpent in the Bible is the very emblem of evil, that he would have the emblem of evil as his partner? Oh, I find that to be very odd. I find that to be very strange, very bizarre, very kooky, very screwy. This guy's a weirdo. He's an oddball. That's what he is. And here's more.
It's not just another snake. You know, snakes in the Bible represent demon spirits. Jesus said in Luke 10 that we would tread on serpents. The Bible in the book of Genesis tells us that Lucifer slithered into the Garden of Eden with the body of a serpent. In the book of Revelation, the Bible calls Satan that old serpent, the devil. But there must be a reason why it was not a spirit of cobra or a spirit of rattlesnake, but it was a spirit of python. Listen now. This story in Acts 16 is centered around midnight. And midnight is always a picture in the scripture of the end time, the nearness of the coming of the Lord. And at midnight, the Bible said, a cry was made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go out to meet him. So God was trying to get you to understand, as the midnight generation, the generation that's living, that will see the coming of the Lord, that the predominant spirit that would come against you
would be the spirit of Python. And when he wanted you to understand how Python would try to destroy your life, he wanted to have this mental picture in your mind of how a python kills his victims. Python is a snake that's after one thing. He doesn't kill his victims by injecting poison like the rattlesnake or the cobra. But the way that Python kills his victims is by coiling himself around them and beginning to squeeze and constrict and choke the very breath out of his victim. You see, Python is after one thing. The spirit of Python is after breath. Breath in the Bible represents the spirit of God. Jesus in John chapter 20.
Well, there you have it. He has an odd preaching companion. What a weirdo. What a weird guy. So we must conclude that I am making my case. Like it or not, Jensen Franklin, like it or not, and you can call the broadcast at 646-564-9730. I'm going to write this book, The Wizard of Odd, and I'm going to give it away for free. I'm going to give it away to the body of Christ for free. They're going to find out why you're such an oddball, why you're such a weirdo, why I have called you, I have dubbed you the Wizard of Odd, and it is true. You are an odd man with odd concepts of Jesus, odd concepts of Satan, odd concepts of the Holy Spirit, and odd concepts of the church. This is an odd man. Well, I'm just about ready to start talking about Paula White. We're going to talk about Paula White and her doctorates. What can Paula White possibly have a doctorate in? We've been talking about this. We've done 3 shows on this. And, you know, I want to thank you for the emails. I want to thank you for just letting me know how much you love the broadcast. And listen, I'm just trying to do what any apologist ought to do. Look at the scriptures, look at what these people are saying, put the two together, and show you how it doesn't add up. So now I want to play a song. I want to play a song, and this song is going to kind of give you an idea of what Paula White is getting her doctorate in tonight. This one song is going to tip you off. You're going to say, "Wow, how is he going to match Paula White to this?" Well, I got audio. As always, we have audio, and that's the beauty of these broadcasts. We always provide you with audio. We always prove to you that what we're saying can be backed up because we have audio that was produced by Paula White. We have things said by Paula White that were recorded, damning things. And so listen to this song, and perhaps you can think, perhaps you can guess what doctorate she's going to get tonight. Do you have an idea? Have you guessed it yet? Have you guessed it yet? Do you have an idea? Okay, let's see. Let's see if you can get it. Let's see. Now, some of you were always in the church, so you might not get this. But for some of you who were in the clubs, for some of you who were discoing, for some of you who were in the world in the 1970s, dancing the night away, maybe you can figure it out. song that you expect to hear in a club. That's a song that you would expect to hear in a place where Satan rules in the hearts of men. That's a song that you expect to hear in a place where demons of darkness, establish parties. Well, do you know that Paula White uses that very same word in the pulpit? Oh, yes, she does. Paula White, when she is teaching, when she is preaching, she talks about booty. What is booty? Well, another word for booty is slang. Well, let me put it this way. In the Oxford Dictionary, the word booty, B-O-O-T-Y, booty, is another word for spoils. To the victor goes the spoils. When you have a battle, when one army beats another army, and the army that wins the spoils. To the victor goes the spoils, or to the victor goes the booty. The booty means the treasures, the gold, the silver. So the word booty in the Oxford Dictionary, it means spoils or treasures or recompense in a battle. In the slang, in the English slang, booty means derriere, buttocks, fanny, okay? So Paula White likes to talk about booty. She likes to take this word that no doubt she learned in the trailer park, because Paula White acknowledges that she's been called. She says, I've been called trailer park trash. Now, is there any wonder why? Is there any wonder why? Well, here's a sermon by Paula White entitled, You Love That Booty. That's right. That's the title. Let me play it for you here. All right. Let me start it where I need to start it at. We don't need to listen to all of it. In case you've never heard this before. Here it is. Let me just get it to you where I need to get it to you. All right. Now, here is Paula White, and this is her preaching at her old church. This is at her old church, Without Walls in Tampa, which went into foreclosure because of her bad management and her husband's bad management. The church went into foreclosure, and then the church was bulldozed. Laid waste as a judgment of God. And Paula, if you don't like what I'm saying, you can call here at 646-564-9730. There's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing Paula can do. And she likes to sue, but every time Paula sues, she loses her lawsuits, and she loses badly. Paula White loses lawsuits, and she loses them badly. So here is Paula White teaching about you love that booty. Here she is. Listen to this. This is from a pulpit now, a church pulpit, okay? Church pulpit, the church is Without Walls Church in Tampa, Florida, which no longer exists. That mega church collapsed, went into foreclosure. The church was finally sold at auction and bulldozed. Here is Paula White preaching, You Love That Booty.
God allows things to look a certain way to get a little bit shaken up. You sometimes think people are really for you, right? They really love you. But God allows you to go through a shaking. Because until you go through that shaking, you can't really see what all is in people. Because the reality is a lot of times people like you more for what you have and what you do than who you are. So if I never preached another sermon, I never pastored another church, I didn't have a dime to my name, and I got 300 pounds, come on, and everything was hitting the ground. And Spanx couldn't even hold it up. Would you still love the real me? Not because, let's take it somewhere. Not because I was undisciplined, but because I got a thyroid condition. Let's just take it somewhere hypothetically. Not because I was undisciplined or didn't try or didn't care, but something happened to me and I got a thyroid condition and I couldn't help but to balloon up. I couldn't help that. See, come on, let's get real right now. And something happened in my life and everything was stripped from me. What were you attracted to in the first place? What did you really love in the first place? I know, please, I'm with that Walls. You love that booty. Come on, you love that. You love that look all nice and hot and fine. And well, then you trade her in and go for some other booty. That booty's going to sag too. So you might as well keep your first booty.
There you have it. She's preaching booty. Booty. Now, we've already given her 3 honorary doctorate degrees, and we're going to give her another one tonight. She's going to have 4. So this way, in case she is interviewed by Fox and Friends, or if April Ryan gets a hold of her, or if Roland Martin gets a hold of her, or TDJ, and they say, Paula, can you tell us, what is your doctorate in? She goes, no. Let me tell you what, I have several doctorates. And Wolf Tracker University has issued these doctorates to me. Wolf Tracker University, they've given me several doctorates. Here's doctorate number 1, ministerial retardation. We talked about this. Her number 1 prize pupil is her son, Bradley Knight. Bradley, if you don't like what I'm saying, call the broadcast, 646-564-9730. Paula White's number 1 prize pupil is her son, Bradley Knight, whom she claims is a theological whiz. Oh, he's so Bible. He's so full of Bible knowledge. He's so theologically sound. The kid is retarded, just as retarded as his mother. In fact, let me just say this. He's more retarded than his mother. And his mother just handed him the church. Bradley Knight, you can Google this. You can type in Google and say, and type in Paula White Hand's son to her church to her son. Several months ago, Paula White handed the church to her son, and he's driven the church into the ground. The church is in deep trouble. The church is emptying out. Now remember, Paula White claims he's a theological genius. He's a biblical Einstein. The kid is retarded. When he looks straight into the camera, he looks cross-eyed. That should be the first indication that he's not too intelligent. He's looking straight into the camera and he's cross-eyed. That looks like he's retarded to me. In addition to that, when he opens up his mouth, he's retarded. So anyone who sits under Paula White to be mentored for ministry develops ministerial retardation. They're worse off than they ever were had they not studied with Paula. So we gave her a doctorate in ministerial retardation because she takes students and she turns them into retards. Secondly, we gave her a doctorate in pulpit prostitution. We gave her a doctorate in pulpit prostitution. And we played the audio. She talks about how God gave her hips and lips. And she knows how to work her hips and lips. Remember the audio we played? Hips and lips. God gave me, and I know how to work my hips and lips. I do. I know how to put on clothes that will pose it, and clothes that will show it. That's Paula White. Pulpit prostitution. We gave her a doctorate in that. Yesterday, or in the last broadcast, broadcast number 3, we gave her a doctorate in sexual and spiritual seduction because, like Jezebel of the Church of Thyatira, she has seduced God's servants, God's children, to commit fornication. She has seduced God's children to commit fornication. I played the audio where Paula and her husband encouraged the saints there at the church New Destiny to watch porn. To watch porn. So she has a doctorate in ministerial retardation, a doctorate in pulpit prostitution, a doctorate in spiritual and sexual seduction. And now, remember the audio where she says, at 8 years old, I was able to seduce grown men to have sex with me? Oh, boy. She has a doctorate in spiritual and sexual seduction. 3 doctorates so far. So let me bring back this audio to the beginning. Let me bring it back to the beginning. And I want you to listen to it again because we're about to give her another doctorate based on these booty comments. Based on the booty comments, we have to give her another doctorate. But I'm going to tell you what next. It's coming up shortly. It's coming up, saints. There's, this woman provides us with so much audio, it's you can't make it up. We don't have to go digging very far. It's all on the internet. All of it is on the internet.
God allows things to look a certain way to get a little bit shaken up. You sometimes think people are really for you, right? They really love you. But God allows you to go through a shaking because until you go through that shaking, you can't really see what all is in people because the reality is a lot of times people like you more for what you have and what you do than who you are. So if I never preached another sermon, I never pastored another church, I didn't have a dime to my name, and I got 300 pounds, come on, and everything was hitting the ground. And Spanx couldn't even hold it up. Would you still love the real me? Not because, let's take it somewhere. Not because I was undisciplined, but because I got a thyroid condition. Let's just take it somewhere hypothetically.
Now, just remember, this is a sermon. And nobody knows what she's saying. This is just gibberish. This is just stupid talk. This is like you hanging outside the projects, sitting on a bench on the projects, and this is just ghetto women talking. This is what this is. Not making any sense.
Not because I was undisciplined or didn't try or didn't care, but something happened to me and I got a thyroid condition and I couldn't help but to balloon up. I couldn't help that. See, come on, let's get real right now. And something happened in my life, and everything was stripped from me. What were you attracted to in the first place? What did you really love in the first place? I know, please, I'm without walls. You love that booty. Come on, you love that. You love that look all nice and hot and fine, and well, then you trade her in and go for some other booty. That booty's going to sag, too, so you might as well keep your first booty.
Now, what does this have to do with the gospel? What does this have to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Nothing. She's talking about booty. This is a Sunday service. This is a Sunday service. She's talking about booty. You can't make this stuff up. Now, that was at Without Walls Church International in Tampa, Florida. That church was bulldozed. That church went out of existence. And you can say, I know why now. I know why now. That place was just a convocation for demons. There was no Holy Spirit in that church. That was all lust and all flesh. Or her husband was addicted to all kinds of drugs, ended up addicted to heroin. Her former husband, Randy White, another bum, another loser, another con man, another carnival barker, that Randy White. And here she is. In his absence, she's pastoring the church. And these are her best sermons. Booty. You love that booty. You love that booty. Did Paul preach on booty? Did Peter, on the day of Pentecost, did Peter preach on booty? When John was on the Isle of Patmos and he saw the vision of the book of Revelation, was there any booty in the vision of the book of Revelation? Is there any booty? No, I'm just asking. I know you're saying to me, but those are ridiculous questions. Yeah, but they need to be asked. Because this woman claims to be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't recall the apostle Paul ever going to Corinth. I don't recall the apostle Paul ever going to the sin-filled city of Corinth and preaching on booty. I don't recall. I don't recall Philip the evangelist, who preached in Samaria in Acts chapter 8. And then went and preached to the Ethiopian eunuch. I don't recall hearing or reading in the sermons of Philip the evangelist that he ever preached on booty. So we must ask Paula White, where did she get her gospel? Because the only place where I read about booty is in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 4. And there it's referring to the spoils in battle. But there's no booty. There's no buttocks. There's no fanny. There's no derriere. And this is what she's preaching. Mind you, she's the spiritual advisor of Donald Trump. Mind you, she heads the Evangelical Advisory Committee to the president. And this woman preaches on booty. Well, 5 years later, she's back at it again. We have another clip of her preaching or teaching on booty. This is like a women's group at her new church, New Destiny Christian Center Church in Orlando, Florida. And here she is. She's teaching on booty. Again, listen to this.
You know that somewhere in life somebody's used you. Come on. And they use you for either who you are or what you had or who you knew. And when that kind of gets revealed, and you find out because you really thought that person loved you for you, it hurts, it grieves you, doesn't it?
Well, if you're a loose woman, you're going to get used. I played this for my wife and I asked her, honey, have you ever felt like you've been used? She goes, no, I've never, because I wasn't lewd. No, I never felt that I was used because I didn't sleep around. I was a church girl. I played my piano. I led in the hymns. I was the church's choir director. No, I didn't sleep around. I was never used. I was never used because I loved the Lord. I was a Christian. I was a strong Christian. I was a Bible-believing Christian. I was a Bible-adhering Christian. I attempted to live out the precepts of Scripture. So I was never used. So here Paula White's talking about how, do you feel used? Well, if you're lewd, you're gonna feel used.
You know that somewhere in life somebody's used you. Come on. And they use you for either who you are or what you had or who you knew. And when that kind of gets revealed and you find out because you really thought that person loved you for you, it hurts. It grieves you, doesn't it? Anybody ever been used in life? Come on, please don't make me break it all the way down.
See, she's not getting a good response. So she's now she's going to talk ghetto. She's not. People aren't raising their hands. So then, you know, no, that's not me. So now, because you see, she thinks that the women in the audience were just like her. That she was loose. That she slept around. That she was, as Austin Powers says, the village bicycle. That's what she thinks, that everyone in church is like her.
Kind of gets revealed, and you find out because you really thought that person loved you for you. It hurts. It grieves you, doesn't it? Anybody ever been used in life? Come on, please don't make me break it all the way down. See, I could just go totally on you and say, you know, that guy that was just telling you, I love you, baby, you all that, and then when he got booty. Praise the Lord.
Did you hear what that skank just said? She said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord? What, are you crazy? That guy got some booty from you, praise the Lord? Are we going to praise the Lord because you are a fornicator? No, we're not going to praise the Lord. We're going to cry out to the Lord. We're going to repent before the Lord. We're going to dress ourselves in sackcloth and pour ashes on our head. We ought to humble ourselves before the Lord, not praise the Lord. Why would I be praising the Lord if I'm a fornicator? I should be doing the opposite. That's what this skank is saying, and she is a skank. She is a skank.
And when that kind of gets revealed and you find out because you really thought that person loved you for you, it hurts. It grieves you, doesn't it? Anybody ever been used in life? Come on, please don't make me break it all the way down. See, I could just go totally on you and say, you know, that guy that was just telling you, I love you, baby, you all that, and then when he got booty. Praise the Lord. I just wanted to see if y'all were still with me. He didn't love you anymore. You got used. Oh, come on. You thought he loved. Oh, please. I know that didn't happen to anybody at New Destiny. So, but when I.
You see what she says? She says, now, I know that didn't happen to anybody in New Destiny. This is a new church. New church, same message. You love that booty. New church. You see, wherever Paula White goes, she cannot help but to talk about booty. She can't. It makes no difference what church she pastors. She's got booty sermons. Booty sermons. Booty sermons. Because she's loose with her booty. Now, you got to say to yourself, she's a scarecrow. If you try to find Paula White's booty, you're gonna have to need a magnifying glass, because she's got no booty. She's as flat as an ironing board. She's got nothing there. Scarecrows don't have any booty. She's just two sticks. That's all she is. Two sticks. And we're not even talking popsicle sticks. She's just two toothpicks. You know you know popsicle sticks when you're having ice cream and you have two popsicle sticks on it? No, her legs aren't even that thick. She's two little toothpicks with nothing at the end. She has no booty. And what's crazy is that there are days when she's got no booty, and there are days when she has a booty as big as a sofa. And I showed my wife the video. I said, okay, you're the expert on this stuff. Explain this to me. Oh, yeah, she's putting on pads. She's probably got two pillows back there. Pillows? Yeah, fanny pads. They call them fanny pads. You're kidding me. Yeah, that's the one they put them on. They sell that stuff. No way. Yeah, way. Yeah, they sell that stuff. So there are days when you look at Paula and you're saying, what? I mean, basically what she should do is, instead of injecting her lip, She should have her, the doctor inject her booty. This woman is disgusting. Disgusting. So we're going to have to give her a doctorate. And the doctorate's going to be in crazy costal bootyology. In crazy costal bootyology. Well, what's that? You say, what's that? Well, that's when a fake Pentecostal who is really a crazy costal gets in the pulpit and starts to preach, but since they have no Bible, since they have no bibliology, they have no Bible. And the study of scripture and theology that deals with the Bible is bibliology. But since she has no bibliology, she has to substitute bibliology with bootyology. Because that's all she knows.
You really thought that person loved you for you? It hurts. It grieves you, doesn't it? Anybody ever been used in life? Come on, please don't make me break it all the way down.
No, my sisters were never used. I can tell you, my sisters growing up in church, they weren't used. They all went to the altar. They all got married the right way. They were never used. They were not handed. They were from one guy to another. No, they were never used. That didn't happen. And I know many girls in the church, not just my sister, many girls in the Pentecostal church who went right to the altar, who were never used, who never went from one guy. It was not permitted in our church. You make sure the pastor sat you down, you better make sure you date one girl in this church. You are not going to be a hummingbird, and you're not going to go from flower to flower. The pastor was telling, he sat us down, hey guys, listen, you are not going to be hummingbirds. You are not going to go from one flower to another in this church. When you decide to court a girl, make sure that you think long and hard the one that you're going to date. Because it's not going to be allowed for you to go from one girl, date her for 2 weeks, and then go to another girl. Because many of these girls here are daughters and granddaughters of church members here. And you will not be allowed to be a hummingbird. You're not going to be allowed as a hummingbird to go to one flower and get nectar out and then whiz your way to another flower and get, that's the kind of conversations they had with you. So before you asked anybody out, before you went steady with anybody in the church, you had to make sure this is the one because I only got one chance at this. In this church, in this Pentecostal church, I got one chance at this. One chance. One chance. So we're giving her a doctorate degree in crazy costal, not Pentecostal, crazy costal, and not bibliology, but bootyology, because she can't talk Bible. She can't talk to you about the Old and the New Testament. She's got no bibliology. All she's got is bootyology.
See, I could just go totally on you and say, you know, that guy that was just telling you, I love you, baby, you all that, and then when he got booty, praise the Lord. I just wanted to see if y'all were still with me. He didn't love you.
Now, again, it's another miracle that a lightning bolt did not come down from heaven and burnt her to a crisp right there on the spot. Listen to me, saints. It is a terrible thing, as Scripture says, to fall into the hands of a living God. You don't want to bring strange fire into the house of God. Remember what happened to the two sons of Aaron? Remember what happened to Aaron's two sons? How they brought strange fire into the house of God, and God struck them dead right on the spot. You don't want, listen, this is strange fire. Instead of preaching Bible, she's preaching booty. And then after preaching booty, she says, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And as soon as she said, praise the Lord, a lightning bolt from heaven should have come down and evaporated her, disintegrated her right on the spot. But because God is merciful, Paula, because God is merciful, Bradley, your mother was not killed on the spot.
Totally on your face. You know that guy that was just telling you, I love you, baby, you all that, and then when he got booty? Oh. Praise the Lord. I just wanted to see if y'all were still with me.
It's a miracle you're still with us. It's a miracle that you're still on this side of eternity, because God should have killed you right there. Had God killed you right there, no one would have blamed God. No one would have blamed God. No one.
He didn't love you anymore. You got used. Oh, come on. You thought he loved. Oh, please. I know that didn't happen to anybody at New Destiny, so. But.
Now, here she is talking about how close she is to Jesus. Here's another sermon, and listen to her talk about how close she is to Jesus. And this, too, is a lie. This is how she masquerades as a minister of righteousness. Listen to this.
Happened to anybody at New Destiny, so. But when I connect back to God, spirit to spirit, through his son Jesus Christ, then I'll start acting like him, talking like him.
Wait a minute. Did Jesus talk about booty? Did Jesus shake his booty? No. Obviously, Paula White has not connected with Jesus, because she doesn't sound like him and she doesn't talk like him. So this is Paula's fourth doctorate. It's on crazy costal bootyology. And I will be back on Monday, Saints. As you know, I'm traveling down to the city. I'm going down to do the Lord's work. If you want the Jensen Franklin book, Spirit of Python Dunce, showing how Jensen Franklin's idiotic interpretation of Acts 16:16 proves he's a biblical moron, or if you want the book, Jackass Church Bishops, if you want that book, the book that shows and explains how the Joint College of African American Bishops has turned the Lord's Church into a donkey republic, if you want those two books, just email me at freechurchbooks@gmail.com. Until Monday, Saints, I love you much in Jesus. God bless you. Take care.
1-2-1-2. Yeah. Special dedication to my brothers and sisters on the great continent of Africa. The saints in Malawi, Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, Zimbabwe. Don't be deceived by what America's sending y'all,
yeah,
man.
Let me begin. While there's still ink left in my pen, I'm set to contend. For truth, you can bet will offend. Deception within. The church, man, who's letting them in. We talked about this years ago. Let's address it again. Yeah. And I ain't really trying to start beef. But some who claim to be part of the sheep got some sharp teeth. It cats get mean when you criticize them. But Jesus told us, Matthew 7:16, we can recognize them. And God forbid that for the love of some fans, I keep quiet and watch them die with their blood on my hands. So there's nothing left for me to do except to speak to you in the spirit of Jude 3 and 2 Peter 2. And I know that some will label me a Pharisee, because today the only heresy is saying that this heresy. I'll dare to be specific and drop some clarity on the popularity of the gospel of prosperity. Turn off TBN, that channel is overrated. The pastors speak bogus statements, financially motivated. It's kind of like a pyramid scheme. Visualize heretics Christianizing the American dream. It's foul and deceitful, they're lying to people, teaching that camels squeeze through the eye of a needle. Ungodly and wicked, ask yourself, how can they not be convicted? Treating Jesus like a lottery ticket. And you're thinking they're not the dangerous type, because some of the statements are right. That only proves that Satan comes as an angel of light. This teaching can't be believed without a cost. The lie is you can achieve a crown without a cross. And I hear it all the time when they speak on the block. Even unbelievers are shocked how they're fleecing the flock. It should be obvious then. Yeah, I'll explain why it's sin. Peep the Bible, it's in 1 Timothy 6:9-10. It talks about how the desire for riches has left many souls on fire in stitches, mired in ditches. Tell me, who would teach you to pursue as a goal the very thing that the Bible says will ruin your soul? soul, huh? Yet they're encouraging the love of money. To make it worse, they've exported this garbage into other countries. My heart breaks even now as I'm rhyming. You want to know what all false teachers have in common?
What?
It's called selfism, the fastest growing religion. They just dress it up and call it Christian. Don't be deceived by this funny biz. If you come to Jesus for money, then he's not your God.
Money is.
Jesus is not a means to an end.
No.
The gospel is he came to redeem us from sin. And that is the message forever I'll yell.
Down.
If you're living your best life now, you're headed for hell.
Talk to him.
Joe Osteen.
Osteen,
let him go.
Crystal Dollar is the
Osteen,
job.
Well to well.
Benny Hinn is the
Osteen,
job.
I know they're popular, but don't let them deceive ya.
Talk to
false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago, it's not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. 2 Peter 2:1-3.